guys, welcome back to the Let God podcast. It's me, Mary Hannah.
Me, Ayafa.
And me, Wanipa.
This is our second episode of the new year. We are so excited to be back. I was having a little bit of a look on my own Spotify of our podcast, and I just realized that we hadn't prior to this new year of 2022 uploaded anything since the end of October. And I was just like, October was a long time ago. Whoa. So like, so happy to be back, you know. Hope you guys have been enjoying the new year so far. Today we're going to be talking about deconstruction, because that's something that I think we sort of touched on a little bit last year in our YouTube content and got a few questions on personally through DMs, through our Google Anonymous submissions form. So we wanted to dedicate a whole episode to that. And yeah, just share our thoughts and our advice concerning like how to approach deconstruction, at least in the faith and religious sense. But first, we're going to have a word of prayer.
Dear Lord, we just want to thank you so much for this time that you've allowed us here to gather together to discuss your word, not just the three of us who are present today on this recording, Lord, but all the listeners that are tuning in for this. Lord, we thank you and we bless your name for every single one of their lives, Lord, and we pray that you'll show them how valued that they are. Lord, I pray that you'll help us be able to address this topic with sensitivity and with grace, and that your love will just exude from everything that we say. Lord, we thank you that you've given us brains that think and eyes that see and hearts that are open to who you are, and that I thank you that you're a compassionate God that is not afraid of our questions, Lord, and who just desperately seeks for us to know more of you. And Lord, I pray that we'll be able to accept that invitation. I thank you for all that we are. Be with us now as we go through the rest of this episode. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Thank you for that beautiful prayer, dear. So a cute little, icebreaker that we're doing today is we're going to share our, favorite. I feel like we shared our favorite on our Instagram story games. If you haven't been on, followed us on Instagram, go do that. It's lots of fun. But maybe our worst, least favorite, like, TV show, reality show character, like, ever in life. Like, who's your worst one? Maybe your worst top three if you can't put your finger on it.
This is hard because I'm like, the reality shows that I watch apart from Setting Sunset, I'm a few seasons behind, and I think as before, like, the characters make an arc, so I don't want to be talking about season two when they've been redeemed in season growth. Eight. I literally, me and Dr. Heavenly from Married to Medicine, because I've been looking on Twitter and she has fans, and I'm like, are we watching the same thing?
I knew who mine were off the jump, and okay. I'm not even entirely caught up, but it's some people that I know that just have not even redeemed themselves several seasons in, so I feel comfortable to share. So number one and two are two people from the Real Housewives of Potomac. I pray every day for them. I pray for them. God bless them. God loves them. As for me and myself, Giselle and Ashley. And you know what it is as well? The fact that Giselle and Robin call themselves the green-eyed bandits. But anyways, yeah, them two, just because I feel they're mean-spirited. The other one, my other least favorite, like, he's entertaining, but like, he's bad vibes, is this guy from 90 Day Fiancé called Usman. And he's actually on the show again. You might know him as Soulja Boy. He's on the show again. He broke up with baby girl Lisa, and now he's talking to this other woman, and he flew her out, like, he's Nigerian. He flew her to Tanzania to watch him shoot a music video. This woman, she came, she bought him a PS5. She bought him a new MacBook, and he's still not, you know, warming up to her. I just thought, women, we need to do better.
Oh, good.
But yeah.
I'm so surprised you didn't say Bonnie from How to Get Away with Murder, because I feel like you have a personal vendetta against Bonnie.
If she was on a reality show.
Oh, that's not true. She's not on reality. That's so true.
No, she's not real. If she was real, my goodness. Sorry, I don't know if that rant was Christ-like, but it is what it is.
for me, I'm trying to go through my Snapchat memories because I literally, yes, guys, I'm a 20, well, almost 22-year-old who still uses Snapchat. It just has so many memories on here that I can't bear to break away from it. Guys, what was the name of that show that was married at first, like that Lauren and Cameron got married in Dawn?
Love is Blind.
Yeah. Love is Blind. The name of the lady who was... like who was trying to marry the really young do you know who I'm,
yes, the one who was getting with that the little
the young one that she yes
do you know
those, I don't Jessica
yes Jessica you know, there was, I'm there was one time Jessica? Where she drank from her wine glass and then she let the dog lick the glass. I felt sick.
Like Jessica, I think her name is this. I can't, it's been so long, almost 2 years since I watched that show. But I just remember thinking, this is a mad villain. I just remember thinking to myself, this person is crazy. No,
the funniest thing that made me cry is that she didn't invite any of her family to the wedding.
Because she knew what she was there to do. To ditch. Nah, she was crazy.
A close second is from a recent show, Selling Sunset. I think Davina carries this, like, her character carries the spirit of an actual witch. Like, I'm so sorry. She's probably the most amazing. Like, I hope in real life she's so lovely and they're coaxing them to play a role. I don't doubt that they're coaxing them to play a role.
No, absolutely. The That's producers, why I say, God will
Yeah,
heal
they know
you.
What they're doing. Mm-hmm. Like, but Davina's character, my goodness. She's just awful. What awful. She's gone off, honestly. The outfits, her attitude, her behavior. She's vindictive.
The outfits.
Good Lord.
Let me not even start.
And then let my third, not. I'm trying to think. Reality shows that I've watched that have just spun my head. Oh, how can I forget? Without a shadow of a doubt. I'm trying to think. I'm trying to think of reality shows that I've watched. I don't watch that much reality, but I grew up watching Dance Moms, and yes. I genuinely think Abby Lee Miller is wicked, but she had cancer and her dog died and she went to prison, so I'm gonna forgive
really?
Her.
Wait, what?
She was in prison? She was in the penitentiary. Yeah, she was in the penitentiary. And she had cancer at the same time.
Tax evasion or something.
Can you imagine? The IRS got her behind.
OMG, hashtag 3 Abby.
She's
but
out now.
The person, she's out, yo, she's out. The person who was really the villain of that show was Maddie's mom, Melissa. Maddie's mom, Melissa.
The way MH is putting at the mic right now.
Like, I'm so happy for Maddie and her little, like, growth with Sia. And, you know, she's a little dancing star. But Melissa, something about her, my spirit didn't take to her, as Winipa would say. My spirit never took to her.
My spirit not took her.
I just feel like it. I did not like the whole like character arc of her divorce and like how she got with her boss and she was kind of like spineless.
Is this a
to Abby
Dance Moms that I never saw? Because when I was a child, I never saw all this.
No, I saw true. I saw 2020 HD. Like it was not good. So those are my top three. I just feel like these characters were just very bad mind for the most part. Oh, I feel so bad because they're all women, but also.
Okay, mine, no particular order. Big Ed.
Oh,
what is this from?
No, that should have
90
been
Day
from 90 Day Fiancé. That man is a predator. Like it. That's not even.
That man has no respect for anyone
at all.
Especially his daughter.
His daughter would literally be crying on TV. No, really, she'd be saying, "Dad, why are you doing this?"
Oh no, that's terrible.
But they keep giving him spin-offs. Like, he's on his like third season. You're not going to find anyone.
No, more power to Rose, though. What was her name? Yeah. Rosalie.
Yeah, Rosemary. Yeah. Now she's a model.
Yes, girl.
She's got her bag.
Who yes, are? Queen.
Oh, Big Ed is that little man who had the Asian fiance?
Yeah.
No, Zoe. He looked like... Oh, no. Let me not even say
he. He looked like a child of God.
Amen.
Made in his image.
Amen. Hallelujah. That's so true. That's exactly what I was going to say. Thank you, Lord.
Who else? I can't remember. Like, they've all gone up my head. Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Mm-hmm. There was one called Kim. She was just so... Kim Richards. She's so messy. Like she's in... It's like she doesn't even live in the world. because she'd just be saying stuff.
LMAO.
And it'll be like nothing's happening, but she just brings beef all the time.
That's what I don't like. See, that's why I don't like Giselle and Ashley, because they just be starting beef on everybody's business for no reason, like saying petty things, and it's like, is that really necessary? As Paul would say.
He might be actually, I should have said him.
Facts.
I can't think of a third one.
Oh, well, guys, we hope that you have had a bit of a key at some of our worst reality shows. Let us know who you think that, who is your worst. I'm not sure if the poll, Paul, in Spotify and Anchor allows you to type a response, but if it does, let us know. Or it does? Oh, great. Then let us know who your least favorite reality TV show star has been thus far. But anyway, as we said, we're going to be talking about... Of course we're
praying for them, though. Let me just read. 100. Yeah.
I hope to see them in heaven, upon the pearly gates. Like, you know what I mean?
And we will in Jesus' name.
Amen.
But their characters, as they're portrayed on television, are absolutely ghastly. nonetheless, swiftly moving on. Deconstruction. So, what is it, girls? Should we start there?
That's always a good place to start.
A bit of definitions. We are Cambridge grads, after all. Or soon to be, some of us.
So, like, I think at its simplest level, this is a definition that I found online before I take credit for the succinct and smart nature of the term. It's a term for the systematic pulling apart of the belief system that you're raised in. It can mean questioning the supposed inerrancy of the Bible, the culture and traditions of the church, the practical application or misapplication of the gospel, and much more. And so I think it's basically just like confronting difficult questions and, yeah, deconstructing, I guess, pulling apart what you might have taken as bond before.
I think that definition was very succinct.
Shout very out good. To whoever wrote it. Sorry, guys. Let me get the questions.
Oh, I've got another definition. Sorry, Han, while you're also looking that up. I got this definition from Got Questions, I think, as it pertains specifically to faith or Christianity. And this author wrote that deconstruction is the heading most recently applied to the process of questioning, doubting, and ultimately rejecting aspects of Christian faith. They go on to say that it's an application of deconstructionism, which is an approach that claims to disassemble beliefs or ideas while assuming their meanings are inherently subjective.
That definition is very interesting, and I feel like we'll come back to that point later about ultimately rejecting. I think that's a really interesting and profound way to put it that, I potentially take issue with, but we'll get into that tease, I guess, at some point. But is deconstruction something that you guys feel like you've actively engaged in, or like what are the reasons that you think people deconstruct, or why have you been on a journey of deconstruction if you have been?
I don't think I've purposely tried to deconstruct anything, just because I guess the way I've been raised up is always not always questioning, but like think things through, so don't just do things because it's like because the church does it, but actually understanding why you do certain things and why certain things are believed. I think people deconstruct a lot of times because there's, especially in African churches, there's a lot of clash between culture and spirituality and just like church doctrines. I think in that esteem is quite important to be able to separate them and see like where the beginnings of things, rather than just following things blindly as well. I think especially in this like day and age, you really need to be holding onto your faith, and you need to build a foundation, and sometimes people need to like take all of the extra stuff apart before they can get right down to the foundation. So in that I think is important in that esteem.
No, I 100% agree with that. I think a huge reason why people go on this journey of deconstruction is because they've experienced like hurt, whether you want to call it like church hurt, or whether they've experienced like abuse and things like that, or whether they just see things which seem to be the antithesis to the central meaning of the gospel, but they're done under the guise of this is what Christianity is, or this is what religion is. And so I understand why then people would go on that journey to pick apart, because I guess they have these two conflicting things in their head. It's like, you know, I know that God is love, but at the same time, this isn't a loving view of who God supposedly is being displayed in the church. And like you said, Ayamfe, I think when it comes to the cultural aspects of religion that have been mixed up with the gospel, that are, you know, literally outrightly like abusive or manipulative, or just even pressurizing and inaccurate, that type of thing, I think it's really important to kind of be able to separate that from what the central message is. And I think that's the reason why people deconstruct, and I think it's an important thing for us all to do collectively.
So along those lines, do y'all think that there are like positive aspects of deconstruction? I feel like the definitions we gave a little bit earlier had both positive and negative attributes. So what is your ultimate position towards it? Or do you even have one?
I think, I don't know. I think it depends whether someone is deconstructing like the spiritual element, like the faith part of being a Christian, or like the cultural, religious, church type things, because I can definitely see positives in both, in that I think God wants us to be intentional in our relationship with him. He didn't make us into like robots and machines, and I feel for any relationship to grow, you need to ask questions. But I think ultimately, if you're questioning things which are like either like fundamental, or just trying
like
to,
like dogmas,
yeah, like trying to bend the gospel to fit into what you would like it to be, and not with the genuine intention of actually discovering more of who God is, then I think that can be an issue. But if it's things that are genuinely like, I don't think that God requires blind faith of us either. If there's things that are genuinely difficult for you to reconcile, I think have that conversation with God about it, and don't feel like you have to go with it just because that's what the Bible says. I don't think that's the type of relationship God wants. I think ultimately he wants us to follow him, but not because we feel forced, because we have accepted that he is good and that we want to live that way. And I think certainly there are positives in deconstructing the cultural parts of religious organization which are not potentially reflecting the gospel anymore.
Yeah. What do you think, Ayamfe?
Yeah, I think there are always positives and negatives to many things. I think, wait for the car to go by. I think in the case of deconstructing, it's, I don't know, I believe that once you do something to, like, in anything, once you, like, put in some effort, then you're kind of, like, more attached to it. And I've read, like, quite a few articles of, like, saying that deconstruction doesn't mean, like, you deconstruct to go away from the faith. Like, people have deconstructed and, like, become stronger in their faith, that type of thing. So I think all comes down to, like, why are you deconstructing your faith, or, like, a certain aspect of the faith, whether it's to like, learn more, whether it's to, like, get rid of preconceived ideas. I think it's all down to your motive.
Yeah.
But what do you think, MH?
I agree. I think, just as you said, like, and I don't think deconstruction is inherently negative. I think it's sort of like, I think the gray area becomes like deconstruction, as like that got questions, what you call it, definition gave, is like, oh, I guess how we see it in like public social media discourse is that people deconstruct to leave the faith, or deconstruct to like have this sort of weird offshoot of whatever religion that they're following that like combines some faith principles with like a bunch of other stuff, maybe secular, maybe more wider spiritualist, to form the sort of like new set of religious codes. But I think deconstruction can be very helpful in terms of, as the girls have already said, separating culture from just like God's heart, also from separating doctrine from dogma. I feel like you can enter a church or enter a specific religious institution and be sort of hoodwinked, for lack of a better word, into thinking that how some place does one thing is the best way to do something. Or the only way. And I think that can go both ways in terms of like, just because you go to a super cool modern church where like tattoos are normal and, you know, people are super accommodating for X, Y, and Z. I think that's beautiful and that's definitely reflective of like God's heart. But that doesn't mean that that is the only way that God's heart can be reflected or is like the reigning way. Like you can go to an Orthodox church that has hymns and church pews and people wear only skirts and trousers and they can still have a heart, you know, for God's, for God's people just the same. So I think we've got to separate from like things, keep things separate in terms of like, okay, what is fundamental to the Christian faith and what is just sort of like people's understandings of God.
Right.
I think deconstruction is most negative when people thwart the Bible or Christian dogmas, or I should say your religious dogma. We're Christian, so I'll say Christian dogmas, to fit their own worldview. Yes, exactly, worldview. I think like we all have a tendency to do that, to like read ourselves into the Bible. Like as much as the Bible's reading, like you're reading the Bible, it's also easy to like read yourself into it based on the situation that you're in and the headspace that you're in and what you're consuming outside of I guess your spiritual time. And so I think that's why it's super important to like have a community and also like pray for guidance when you're reading scripture and not just read it as literature, even though in the last season we did talk about the Bible as literature. Anyway, I'm going around and around just to say that I think the most negative aspect of deconstruction is just when, yeah, this little offshoots of religious groups form, dare I say unnecessarily. I just think it's, what I'm afraid, at least I can speak for myself, it's very difficult to be uncomfortable with the faith and it's very exhausting. And I think sometimes it's just easier to be like, I don't agree with that, so that's not true. Any Christian or religious person who believes that is bigoted or a traditionalist or whatever, and so like I'm just gonna forsake that. Y'all are not serious. I don't believe y'all. When it's just like, that just might be a really tricky part of like the Christian faith, of scripture, of understanding God's person or church or the, you know, Christianity as a faith, that you just have to sit with, as Winifa said, for your life and like go live with the, not necessarily the uncertainty, I don't think. I think there's some things God wants us to be certain about, especially when they're life defining. But I think maybe live with a little bit of the discomfort that comes with, this is kind of countercultural. And so how do I love people and stay honest to who, stay true to my faith and stay true to what I believe God's word says, while still keeping in mind the fact that like not everybody agrees with what I'm doing or saying might be seen as, you know, either politically this way or that way, and because it can range for different things. So I think that's essentially when deconstruction can be the most negative.
I like what you mentioned there about kind of being comfortable with some level of uncertainty, because at the same time as I do believe that like God wants us to be certain about certain things, I said certain so many times, but God wants us to be sure and have the complete view of some things, there are some mysteries that are hidden from us and some questions that we won't necessarily understand to the fullness. And I feel deconstructive discourse goes along the lines of, okay, there's this thing which I don't fully understand, and since I don't fully understand it, either A, it must be wrong, or B, Christianity's wrong because it doesn't have all the answers for my entire life. And I was reading this article from Relevant Magazine. Big up Relevant Magazine. Like, I love that platform so much. They're really cool. Yeah. And they were having an interview with this guy called Father Richard Fryer, who's the founder at the Center for Action and Contemplation. And he kind of just talks about this journey that we've kind of gone on culturally, from like accepting faith as being as much about the unknowns as it is about the things you know, to people that kind of prioritize certainty above belief. And so then kind of discard the things in the Bible that seem uncertain to them. And he says, You go back to the first 1,300 years of Christianity, and faith is defined as a combination of knowing and not knowing, of a willingness and readiness by the grace of God to live with a certain degree of unknowing of what the mystics call darkness. Now with that out of the picture, and people getting the impression that they have a right to perfect certitude and perfect clarity and perfect order every step of the way, you've basically, and I'm going to say it strongly, you've basically destroyed the biblical idea of faith to begin with. And I definitely agree with a lot of that. I think one of the negative aspects of deconstruction, I feel, is I think letting doubt creep into to a degree where it's like, this was never reconcilable, and it was always going to be not reconcilable until the day Jesus came down. And I think we should be critical about the things that we believe, and I think we should seek to know God. And trust me when I tell you, it's troubling not to know the full story, but is that what God has called us to do, or has he invited us to see who he is through the information that we do have available and do our best to live our lives with what we have? You know what I mean?
And along that point, I think it's so important. I was just looking at my notes and some scripture that we had, I think on two notes, I think it's so important to like put things into perspective, because there are some things that go on in public discourse that are very important. Well, a lot of things are very important, especially when it comes to religion in terms of people's identity, and you know, so many things that can be so fundamental to someone's day-to-day life, as well as like the bigger picture of life and relationships and family and money and so many different things. But I think it's so important, at least that's one thing I learned in 2021, to take things day by day. It's not every spiritual intellectual question that's going to be solved in my everyday, do you know what I mean? And it's not going to be solved. So it's just like, why would I be spinning my head over maybe a really obscure passage of scripture that so many people are also their head is spinning about, when that's not aiding me, like not even trying to be dismissive, but when it's not aiding me
in this my moment right now
today,
right?
Like I've got my whole life to ponder and think and grow with God. So why will I let something that God may reveal to me, or that, you know, like something that is just so is important, but to today and this moment and my things before me, like uni and my family and this podcast and whatever, you know, responsibilities I have, is so secondary, I should say,
right?
To that, I think, like, and maybe it's our generation or any generation, we have like a tendency, because we consume so much media, to want to answer everything at once. But it's just like,
you can't answer everything. It's that instant gratification type thing.
Yeah.
It's like, I have a question, I want to know it right now, and I need to. And if I can't know the answer, then the question must be flawed. Or the, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Or the source of the answers must be flawed.
Must be flawed. Yeah, exactly. And the second thing, sorry, honey, were you going to say something?
No, I was agreeing.
No. Okay. And the second thing, it was just a passage of scripture that I was thinking about. It's here, Jeremiah 29, 12 and 13. And it's the Lord talking. Oh, everybody knows the 29:11 verse about God saying he's got the plans. He has plans for us. But the following verses say, in those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. And it's another place in Hosea, I believe, that talks about God saying that he will reveal himself to those who didn't know him, that those who were called unloved, he will call them loved. And I think there's something to be said and to be remembered about searching for God, I guess you could say, in the spiritual and intellectual sense, with an earnest heart, opposed to like searching for God as just a purely intellectual exercise.
Right.
Because I feel like it's so easy to obscure God's heart from that, like, when you're looking at a piece of scripture or, you know, a political idea or public discourse as solely like a religious concept, an institutional concept or principle, you can miss God's heart in it. And right. I, although of course we always say like my experience of God is not all that God is, that would defeat the whole purpose of God being divine. But at least we know that there are definable aspects of God's character, like God being love, God being faithful, God being
everlasting,
just, merciful, everlasting, things like that. So it's just like, if I'm reading something in my intellectual mind or what people are saying is contrary to what God's heart is, then there's something that's not in alignment, you know what I mean? And so because something's not in alignment, it's either the way I'm posturing it or the understanding. Essentially what I'm trying to say is that when we search for God, or when we have genuine questions about God, and we come with the genuineness in our heart, opposed to in just in our head, I think that's where we find deconstruction, in quotation marks, to be the most successful and helpful.
And just to come off that point as well, MH, I totally agree. And I think there's something about the posture that you have as well when you go in seeking that question from your heart. I think it's kind of not starting from the automatic premise that God must be wrong, or that the Bible must be wrong about something. And I think a lot of times the reason that discourse kind of starts is because things might not necessarily align with our worldview. But I think you have to have this humility and this understanding that maybe what you find in the end after you're searching might be contrary to what you thought to begin with. And I think being able to be humble about that, to ask God the question, even if you feel like the answer might make you uncomfortable, and then say, you know what, this isn't actually the answer I was expecting, like, but, you know, sit with me, God, like, let's figure this out. I don't think you should go in with the mindset of like, okay, my favorite color is yellow, therefore this thing in the Bible needs to mean yellow, and if it don't mean yellow, then it's not right. I think it's like, it's a thing of like, okay, if the answer turns out to be purple, that's not what I wanted to happen if I'm keeping it a buck, but if that's what God wants it to mean today, or if that's who God wants to be in my life, let me trust the things that I know for certain, like we said, that God is good and that he's working things out for our good, and that even if it don't make sense right now, it fits in with the character of him and who he wants us to be. So I think I think that's a positive way to go about it, understanding that you could be wrong and being okay with that.
I think it's also important to understand, like, you can ask questions without it being deconstruction. There's still space, like, within faith to, like, have doubts and, like, not fully understand stuff, kind of like what Mary Hannah was saying, that about like allowing space for uncertainty in certain areas. And I think, just even going back to what Mary Hannah said earlier about, like, the Bible as a text, like, texts were written in context, and in, like, historical context, text in, like, cultural context as well. So not everything, you can't directly correlate everything that was said then to now, and you sometimes you need to do the reading and the understanding to see how you can. And especially, like, there's some things about, like, clothing and, like, modesty that people are, like, still struggling with, but, like, some things you don't really need to fight over. Like, you can ask God to give you the understanding and, like, stuff, but if it but sometimes it's not like a faith defining thing that needs to be deconstructed to, like, a high degree. Sometimes you just need to talk to God, like, help me understand this, and he'll help you understand it sometimes. I think we also need to remember that faith is a one-on-one thing, and it is a relationship with God. So you don't need to always be looking online, like, what does this person think about this? Like, what are the different sources? Like, you can go directly to the source sometimes. Well, not always, so sometimes, all the time.
I love that.
Yeah, all I was going to say on that, I'm faced that, yeah, you're so right. I think that, like, questions are necessary in faith. I wouldn't even just say that they're a normal part. I think they're necessary, because it's like, how do you get to know God? How do you know what you're doing here? How do you know if you actually love the God who you say you love, if you don't ask questions about him and his character and what that means to you? So I think, don't be afraid of your questions. Like, the Bible is full of people asking questions and complaining and literally wrestling with God about the things that they don't understand, but it don't mean that the relationship is flawed. It just means that it's growing, and this is what the growing pains look like sometimes.
Yeah. I have something to add, just on the lines of, like, how we view deconstruction as a whole. I think one thing about deconstruction, or even not even deconstruction, I guess, as like the official title, but about questions we have about faith is sometimes, and I feel like we've maybe said this or something along the lines of this in the past, maybe even in this episode, is just that like faith is a journey, like a whole, right. Like think about it. We are 22, 21 years old. God willing, well, I say God willing sort of half-heartedly, because if Jehovah came tomorrow, you know, I'd be ecstatic.
Beat me up. I say swing low.
Sweet chariot. Like, okay, on a serious note, like if, you know, we live to 80 or 90 or God knows how long with all of the, you know, technological advances, that's potentially 60 to 80 years of getting to know God more.
Right.
60 to 80, like, and if deconstruction or your questions, or at least my questions, if I put the expectation like, God, if I don't know this by tomorrow, or by the end of the 30 minute prayer, literally, by the end of the 30 minutes that I've read my Bible, it's going to be like, bro, you've sucked the fun out of it. Like, right. God is revelation. You know what I mean? It's right. Meant to be continuous. Even like passages of scripture that I read when I'm 16, like that's the whole beauty. And like, I think part of like the truth of Christianity is just that like a text that is thousands of years old brings revelation to new people every right. single day. And so it's just like, there's always going to be more.
Yeah.
Like even when you think you got it, there's going to be more.
And that's why Hebrews says like the word of God is alive and active, you know, where I mean, yeah. like, It's the reading you. It's the only book that gonna read you right back, you know?
Yeah.
And so like, how can you expect it to read you for all it's worth in 30 minutes of your devotion? Like, give it time, bro. Lest we forget eternity. Like, best believe I'm gonna be up there by Jesus's side saying, and let me take you to point C, paragraph A. What did you mean by this? You know what I mean? And
yeah,
I look forward to answering them questions directly, honey, because it's some things I need to know, you know?
No, honestly. So I think like, yeah, just as much as like we're so passionate about knowing God and like especially like advocating for other people whose experiences in the faith might be negative because of a variety of different reasons, I think also give yourself grace and give others grace, even people who are tussling with maybe some of those questions in their personal lives that like ultimately, I think, did we say this last time? I'm not even sure. When I say last time, I mean like in a previous episode. We were ultimately made to be loved. Like that's right. what we were made to be. Like you are reciprocal of God's love. God's love wouldn't be God's love if it didn't have somebody like you to receive it. And so it's just like, at the end of the day, that's your purpose. And deconstruction or any other question, if it really detracts from that, detracts from you being able to be loved, it's okay to give yourself grace, park it for 2 weeks, 2 years if you need to. And, you know, like, let God just take you day by day, opposed to it being, like, a lifetime of, okay, I got this theological concept down pat. I'm going to never change my mind. I bet there are things right now that I'm convinced of. That by the time I'm 25, I'm going to be like, I don't think that was quite right.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
It's things I was convinced of last year. I'm now like, oh, wow, what was I, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
But our walk is a constant dialogue. And I think, yeah, ultimately just remembering that all God wants is relationship, and he's willing to take you as you are right now, as you will be in 5 years with all your questions. But I think give him a chance before you decide to ultimately, you know, deconstruct it to the bones, you know. See what he has to say, you know, hear him out.
Yeah. Love it.
Shall we wrap up?
Any final thoughts?
Yes, my favorite verse in terms of deconstruction and religion in general comes from Hosea 6:6, and it says, I want you to show love, not offer sacrifices. I want you to know me more than I want burnt offerings. And I think that just summarizes God's heart. Then, when people were still offering burnt sacrifices, and now, like, oh, we got a lot of questions and intellectual, you know, ideas and journeys that we can go on that are important. And I will never discredit their importance, but ultimately it's love, and a love that's genuine, and a love that is, I feel like we throw love around, but it's like a love that's sacrificial, right. A love that sees outside of yourself, a love that is willing to be wrong, a love that is willing to be a good neighbor to the people whose politics are completely different to yours. And I think, you know, I don't know. I think I was reading something recently. It was a note that I had, I don't remember from where. And they were saying that like, a lot of times our ability to love somebody or advocate for somebody, especially in, I guess, today's climate, sociopolitical climate, is based on how much we can see ourselves in them.
Right.
But that's not really what we were like. I'm not supposed to be able to love you because I can see a part of myself and my experience in you. I'm supposed to love you because my Father's love is eternal, and I'm loving from that love, not from my own strength. And so it doesn't matter who you are, what you look like, or if our ideas or politics are totally aligned or completely juxtaposed. Like, love is a commandment, and I think that's just so important to remember. Wow. Above all,
that gave me goosebumps. I feel like end on that note. That was beautiful.
Yeah. Thank you so much for listening, guys, and let us know what you think about deconstruction, whether you've gone through it or whether you've seen people go through it, and whether it's positive or negative in your case. But yeah, you can find us on all social media at Leg Up Podcast. We have YouTube as well. And yeah, we're super excited for the rest of this season, where we'll explore more deconstruction ideas and also give us more episode suggestions in our anonymous Google form. But as always, thank you for listening. See you next week.
Bye.
Love you, bye.